Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to the man's voice here on this Sunday afternoon. I want to welcome, I got two of my panelists on board. We have three of my panelists on board. And so we're going to go on with the show because that's how we make things good. But one of the things I actually heard men discussing was children school starts in a lot of the country, and some places school has already started, some places it'll start after Labor Day. But right now, I know in Georgia, school is starting, and the men were discussing whether they wanted their children to go to a school where they would have to wear a mask. And some of the men in the conversation were saying, no, they don't want their kids going there. Some of them were saying, why do they even have to wear a mask if they, you know. And then the monkeypox thing came up. So I guess I'll ask, you know, the panelists, what are your thoughts on, as fathers and your kids, what would you tell a young man who is sending his child to school for kindergarten? And would you suggest that he do send his kids to school with masks on or not? What do you think, Michael?
That's actually a tough one, David. I'm kind of torn on that one. I mean, I don't want to have to send my kids to wearing masks. I don't want kids to have to go back to wearing masks after 2 years of what they've gone through. But yet and still, this monkeypox situation is very serious. It's no joke. And it's spread through kids. And from what I understand, it's not just masks, it's touching. If you physically touch someone, you can get it. So, I mean, in my household, we're contemplating keeping the kids in our family out of school, but once again, because of monkeypox. And the conversations internally in my family are, well, wow, we just had the kids out for a year or two because of coronavirus. Now we're going to take them out again because of monkeypox. So it's really scary, David, and it's a real serious situation. But to answer your question, I probably would go with no. I'm going to keep my kids out. If they're not going to wear a mask and be protected, keep them out.
Wow. All right. What about you, Ron? What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, I don't have kids, but if I did have kids, this is a tough one, Michael, like you said. You know, I've been a proponent of mask wearing, as you know, since the pandemic started, and I still am, and I still wear mine, although I have been a little more lax lately than I probably should be, because cases still are going up. But with monkeypox, I mean, I was listening to the news this morning, and obviously it's not nearly at the levels that there is concern, but it's still very, very, very low risk of getting it from what I heard this morning, the former FDA commissioner say. Then again, lately, I'm not sure who to believe or should I believe anybody. So I think I would err on the side of caution and either send them with it. Well, I mean, a mask won't do anything in this case because, like Michael said, you know, if you come in contact for a long enough time with somebody that has it, like touching the skin or something, I think you can get it. I don't know enough about it, so but that's my understanding. So I think I would.
So, Elle, what are your thoughts on, would you tell your parents who have kids that they should send their kids to school with masks on, or would you be against it?
I guess it just goes as what a parent's conscience dictates. If I had children, as of right now, I haven't heard much about the whole monkeypox. I know it's kind of serious in the Midwest, but I would send my kids to school normally. If I got an alert from my health district, from the county or something, how serious it was, then I probably would, or have my kids at home. But it just depends on the parent. And I would just follow what the county would say, what the city would say, and if they're really talking about it in a really serious way.
All right. What about you, Darius? Would you suggest a young man who has a young kid and family talk to him and they want to ask you what are your thoughts would you say?
Well, David, this is not a difficult question at all for me. As you know, I always talk about calculated risk, and I believe in that. And, you know, for the Democrats or the liberals to claim that they're a party of science, the party of science, they're totally ignoring the science. I mean, it's absolutely clear. It's been proven in several different studies, the most prominent of which is Johns Hopkins University here. It shows that the masks have zero to little effect at all. And the kids, the children are the least likely to contract COVID out of all of the demographics. Children are the ones who are very, very unlikely to catch COVID. I mean, it's almost like less than 0.001% of kids, healthy kids especially, that will contract COVID. So no, there should be no mask unless somebody can show some studies that prove where masks are effective. It's actually hurting kids more than it's helping them. And if I still had school-age children and my school board tried to force it, I would band together with the other parents and demand they show some studies to show that this works. Or we'll all together, we would band together and say no to masks or we're not coming to school, you know, whatever. They can't put everybody out. They can't kick everybody out. So this is ridiculous, man. It's got to stop. And what it's doing is it's creating fear in the public. Like Michael said, he said he's afraid to send his kids. But there's actually legally no statistical, scientific reason to be afraid. But these people are prolonging this because they want to be demagogues. They want to demagogue the situation. And it's terrible that they're doing this to the American public. But it's even more terrible that they're doing it to kids. And the same thing with monkeypox. They've got everybody afraid of monkeypox. Monkeypox is skin-to-skin contact. You can't get it from bumping up against each other. You can't get it from just somebody touching you in a grocery store or touching your hand. If you are not, and this is statistical, if you are not a gay male involved in promiscuous sexual activity, gay sexual activities, going to raves or having gay orgies, the chances of you getting monkeypox are zero to none. It will not happen. And the CDC does not want to say that. The government does not want to say that because they don't want to stigmatize the gay community. And I get it. There are a lot of people that will become homophobic if this gets out. But you got to tell the truth, man, if you want the trust of the public. You can't just put out mandates and scare the hell out of everybody without giving the facts. So I just challenge everybody, don't take my word for it. Look at the statistics on monkeypox. Look at the statistics on the mask mandates, and you'll see these for yourself. And you can make your own decision on what you want to do.
All right. All right. Let's move on forward. You know, one of the things that, although we're saying schools are starting, including colleges and universities, one of the things that is out right now was there was more than 860 U.S. flights that have been canceled. And for today only, they have delayed over 4,000 air flights today alone. So that means that travel right now is really, really difficult, and people getting from one location to another, especially schools and students, are going to be in trouble. So my question to the panel is, what do you think, why are the flights being canceled? Why are the 4,000 being delayed today? And it's because of the airlines, because they don't have personnel. Do you think that there should be a big plan out to train more pilots? What I saw, something that came up today was the government should put more money into HBCUs and to teaching them how to fly flights. Darius, what are your thoughts on that one?
I don't. You're saying in terms of why the flights are being delayed or why there's a shortage on pilots?
Well, I'm saying, should the government now update itself by putting flight? Some colleges have it, but do they think they should broaden the curriculum for students, and especially at HBCUs?
I think that's a good idea. If there's a shortage on pilots, you know, yeah, you definitely go into the schools and recruit, just like you would for any other professional. And I don't think it should be just solely HBCU, but I don't disagree with the idea at all. Or even, you know, volunteer to the airlines, volunteer, or the government volunteer to pay off some of their student loans, like they do with doctors and nurses who render service to disadvantaged communities. I know the government will offer to pay their student loans for doctors and nurses if they'll serve in those underserved communities. So, yeah, I'm all for it. I think that's an awesome idea.
Jeremiah, I see that you've checked in. What are your thoughts on this?
You would have to repeat the question, Dave. I'm sorry.
The question is, airlines right now are having a hard time keeping flights in the air. There are more than 860 U.S. flights that have been canceled. But today alone, 4,000 flights have been delayed because of not having the personnel to get their airplanes up in the air and people off of them. So the question is, do you think the U.S. government should spend more money, all this money they're sending to Ukraine and all that, shouldn't we spend more of that money on the citizens and put it into colleges to do more flight training? And I saw earlier there was on the news they were talking about maybe they should put the money into HBCUs to broaden airline pilots and classes for that. What are your thoughts?
I mean, I think it's a collective part. It's not just pilots. It's the ground staff as well. The luggage guys, the girls, flight attendants. I think it's all about. But I think they should do a wide range of things. And you know, I don't know if I agree with the HBCU thing. But I just think that they should tap into every different demographic. Or I got a friend who just started working for United Airlines. I think this is his second week. He's in Colorado, and that's one of the biggest hubs for United Airways. So, and he's a supervisor already in 2 or 3 weeks. He told me yesterday he's been promoted to supervisor. So they are in great need of great people. But that's just us getting back to work post-pandemic. That's the issue. It's everybody's competitive with finding employees as far as paying bonuses, paying higher wages, things of that nature.
All right. What are your thoughts, Soel?
It's a combination of a multitude of things, but after 9/11, they increased the flight hours from 250 to 1,500. So that set back a lot of pilots that were going to be in the economy and helping them out. And now it's at a point where it's such a long process. There's not enough pilots. So there's a shortage. There's a lot of delays because sometimes they don't have pilots to fly the plane. And that's a government mandated thing now, having 1,500 flight hours. And a lot of flight experts say there's no reason why you need 1,500 flight hours for that. A lot of Air Force veterans who fly commercial planes say they learned how to fly a fighter jet with less training than that, and they were perfectly fine. It also has to do with, you know, Corona things not catching up right away, and also just wages. I know people who work at the airport near me, and it's just a combination of, you know, we're not getting paid enough to deal with all of this crap that we're dealing with. I mean, with gas being expensive, insurance being expensive, services being expensive, some people are making up the difference on their weekly or biweekly check with their credit card. So people are quitting and they're trying to get higher paying jobs. So if the airport and the airlines start paying more, you're going to get a lot of people. If you hire saying, hey, we're paying $25 an hour, you're not going to have a labor shortage and you're going to have people that want to be there.
All right. How about you, Ron? What are your thoughts on this subject?
I think Soel brings up some very good points. I think there's also a lot of greed involved in the airlines. Demand is way up. I think it's already past even pre-pandemic levels. And so there's a lot of people flying, and the airlines can't keep up, but they're not, you know, they're adding flights, I believe, instead of, you know, keeping it, you know, at a standard where they can manage. So I think greed is also a part of that. I wasn't going to bring this up, but I did, if I may, David, I did want to comment on something that Darius said earlier about monkeypox.
Sure.
And, the comment that on the one hand, the government is, you know, doing what they can to not create, you know, a fear, and also at the same time create a stigma against the gay population. But then on the other hand, he said, you know, if you're not gay and you're not having promiscuous sex, and I think, you know, there's two things wrong with that. First of all, it's not just gay people that are getting monkeypox. It could be anybody. And there's a lot of bisexual men out there too, that just as easily as gay men could expose people to monkeypox. And the fact that assuming that if you're gay, you're promiscuous, I think is, you know, from the 70s. I think that's not right. I mean, that's like saying, you know, straight people that mess around, fool around with, you know, different people every week are promiscuous. I mean, of course they're promiscuous, but you don't have to be gay to be promiscuous.
All right.
Well, David, can I respond to that? Can I respond to that?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, Ron, I don't think you heard what I said clearly. I specifically said if you are gay and you are not being promiscuous, if you're not going to raves, if you're not engaging in orgies, those types of activities, then the chances of you getting it are slim. I didn't say that just because all gays get monkeypox, and I didn't say that all gays were promiscuous. I specifically identified which area of the gay community I was talking about. But I also point out, yeah, so I apologize if I, you know, came across that way or if I offended anybody, but that's not what I was saying. I also wanted to point this out, too. You're right. Bisexuals, too. That's why I didn't say just gay people. I said if you're not having gay sex, man to man, the odds of you getting it are very unlikely. Now, does it mean that heterosexuals don't get it at all? I didn't say that. I said your odds are little to none. And that's a fact. That's not just me talking. You can look up the statistics yourself. If you are not a gay promiscuous male, the chances of you getting monkeypox are less than 1%.
So, and I don't disagree with that, but then my question to you would be, if there's so few people around the country that have monkeypox, and I don't know what the numbers are, but there's not a lot, how is it
right
that there's already kids that are having monkeypox? The kids aren't having gay sex.
No, they're not. And I don't know of those cases, so I don't want to comment on it. I'm sure there's some sort of explanation for it, but I haven't heard of a case of any kids contracting monkeypox. I'm not saying you're not telling the truth. I'm just saying I can't comment on something because I don't know anything about it.
Right.
Gentlemen, just for your information, there were 2,891 cases of monkeypox reported in the United States by July 22nd, about 2 months after the country's first case was reported. Case reports forms with additional epidemiology and clinical information were submitted to the CDC for 41% of those cases. Most of them are Hispanic and Black people. Well, not all details were complete on all those forms that were submitted. So I think that the number is, based on the number of people in the United States, limited in terms of only 2,891 cases so far. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's good information, David. Thanks.
All right, so let's go to the table. Michael, what do you want to talk about this week?
Thanks for coming to me, David. But I do have something I want to talk about. But real quick, I just want to address the pilot, the question in regards to the lack of pilots and what should we do with that. I totally disagree in giving some money to the HBCUs to try to help get some more pilots and get some more flights going, because the HBCUs are not the answer to every problem in the black community. And I just get sick and tired every time there's an issue and we need to go help the black community. It's just like white guilt to go, oh, well, let's just throw some money at the HBCUs and then we can say, hey, we helped the black community. There's a lot of other black people in the community would love to be pilots that just didn't go to an HBCU. How about helping those guys out? So I disagree with that. I think the HBCUs could have become the Al Sharpton of donations when it comes to white guilt in America. So I totally disagree with the premise that giving money to HBCUs is going to solve the crisis with the airlines in America. I just think that's an absurd comparison. But what I would like to bring to the table this week is the simple fact that it seems to me that Donald Trump is going to get indicted. It's getting closer and closer to his inner circle as far as an indictment. I want to throw that to the panel to see. I personally think that if he does get indicted, which Merrick Garland, the attorney general, has hinted towards, and Letitia James in New York has hinted towards, that's the AG in New York, as well as Fani Willis, who's the attorney, district attorney in Georgia, who's saying, hey, I'm probably going to indict this guy. So he's going to get indicted. I think that's going to start a civil war in this country. I really do. I think his followers love him so much and are so devoted to him, they're not going to stand for him getting indicted. So I want to throw that to the panel and see what are your thoughts on that guy.
Before we go there, let me back up a little bit on the HBCU thing. The comments that were made is that pilots are being trained in the universities, that none of them are African-American universities. So the whole thing was that, yes, we should continue with the pilots being trained in who they are, but we should broaden that to all colleges and universities, including HBCUs, because there are none of the HBCUs have a pilot course. There are courses across the United States, but most of them are in schools, state schools that are not African-American or minority by any chance. And there are very few minority pilots being trained. So I think the thing was, just broaden the scope of pilots being trained by everybody. I thought that was a great idea. But now, go ahead.
Okay, fair enough. But, yeah, I just want to hear what you guys think about it. It's getting closer to Donald Trump getting indicted. And I'll ask you first, Soel, what do you think? Would that start a civil war if he's indicted?
I think it will, simply because I'm all for fairness. Don't get me wrong, and I think the whole Jan 6 committee, that they didn't allow Trump to have a lawyer in there or a legal team, is going to have, like, the Trumpies really upset. I agree what happened on January 6th was horrible and it was sad, but, I mean, I've seen some people that have, like, Trump 2024 tattoos, and I know those are the type of people that are really going to be very fiery and supportive about it. And if there's a civil war, like, I can just tell you that they're going to win, because Trump supporters are the ones that have guns and all of their kind of stuff, and they're just going to use that against us, because most liberal Democrats do not or support having firearms. So I think if he is indicted, it is going to end kind of badly.
What about you, Ron?
Michael, yes, I guess it depends on your definition of a civil war, but there's definitely going to be a lot of angry people on the far right conservative side, you know, including in my own family. And I think there's going to be bloodshed. I mean, I don't know to what extreme, but I don't think it's going to be pretty. But it's a very interesting point you bring up, Michael, because a good friend of mine and I were talking about what happened in Kansas with, you know, like, I think it was over 70% of the people voting to make or keep abortions legal or make them legal. I forget which one in Kansas, which is like a ruby red state. And so his prediction, my friend's prediction, is that come November, I guess, there's going to be a blue wave. So I know that women, that's a key issue for them, the abortion, and you know, so I don't know. I mean, it's a interesting point you bring up, but I do think there's going to be, if Trump is indicted, there's going to be a lot of people with firearms that I'd be afraid to confront. That's for sure.
Okay. Hey, Darius, real quick, Darius. As you know, Darius, before you answer the question, Darius, you do realize that there are three different investigators, attorney generals that are going after him. There's Merrick Garland, there's Fannie Willis there in your home state of Georgia, and there's Letitia James in New York. So we got three attorney generals that are on his ass. Let's just call it what it is. Do you think he beats all three of those, or do you think he gets indicted, Darius? And if he does get indicted, is that a civil war?
You know what, Michael, I'm going to say it's 50-50 right now. It's not that difficult to get an indictment, especially in New York. It's all Democrat. I don't know if it's going to happen in Georgia, but I'll tell you what, you know, and Merrick Garland, if he indicts him, I don't know what he's going to indict him on. You know, if he does, it has to be some trumped-up charge. I don't know any grand jury, but like I said, in D.C., it's not hard to get a grand jury that would bring back an indictment on Donald Trump. It's heavily, I think it's like 90-something percent blue. So, you know, that doesn't really mean anything. But there will definitely not be a civil war. Nobody's going to pick up arms and start shooting Democrats because Trump got indicted. But there will be a lot of anger and a lot of turmoil and unrest, as it should be, because as Sohel pointed out, and I've been saying all along, this will be, if it's anybody, I don't care, Democrat or Republican, I don't care if you hate Trump or not, if anybody believes in equal justice under the law, what is happening to this man is flat out wrong and unfair and unjust. I mean, they're conducting an entire Senate hearing without one representative from Trump's side. He's not even allowed to have a lawyer. Steve Bannon was not even allowed to bring them in court to meet. You're supposed to be able to face your accusers. He wasn't even allowed to bring his accusers to court when he got indicted or when he got convicted. This whole thing is unfair, and if Trump gets indicted, then they need to bring back Hillary Clinton. She needs to be indicted. They need to bring back Eric Holder. He needs to be indicted. Joe Biden needs to be indicted. Hunter Biden needs to be indicted. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And Stacey Abrams and Hillary Clinton, everybody questioned the election results that they had, going all the way back to Al Gore. Now, all of a sudden, it's a crime because people call certain states or people threaten to pull their electors. They did the same thing. And so this right here to me is sad, guys. I'm not angry. I'm just very sad that this has happened to us. And Democrats are laughing. It's all fun and games. But when this thing turns to your side, when it's your people, it's your guy, or if it's even you or a family member, I think you're going to be feeling a whole lot differently. And I just ask you guys to be objective and say, hey, is this thing fair, what's going on right now, or is it just?
All right. Anybody got any comments about that?
Yeah, actually, I do. First of all, Darius, let's just start with you pointed out Hillary and Eric and Stacey Abrams, they both denied their election results. But and then you said, so all of a sudden the guy makes a phone call. Is that a crime? Well, yeah, Stacey Abrams and Hillary didn't make a phone call to anyone and go, hey, find some votes for me. So, yeah, what Donald Trump did is a crime. And you said that the two of them, Stacey Abrams and Hillary Clinton, they both were denying of their elections. But did any of those two cause an insurrection of the United States Capitol? I'll answer that question for you. No, they did not. So it's funny how you Republicans always do the what about me, what about this, what about it, what aboutism is what we call it. But it just doesn't work anymore. Like, I got to be honest with you, Darius, it just doesn't work anymore, the whole what aboutism. Everyone can see that Donald Trump is a straight-up crook criminal who deserves to be indicted. And in my personal opinion, he deserves to be behind bars for a very long time. For tax evasion, for violating women without their permission, for selling fake products for many years, for raising his assets to get loans and depreciating those exact same assets when it was time to pay taxes on it. I can go on and on for paying a hooker. I can go on and on and on and on for the reasons the guy should be behind bars. So guys like you that don't see it, it's laughable.
He's not getting indicted on any of those things you just mentioned, Michael. And yes, Hillary Clinton and Stacey Abrams did call the state's attorneys general and did ask them to investigate and took them to court. They went so far as to take them to court. Hillary Clinton challenged the electors, saying that the electors from the other states shouldn't be allowed to cast their votes in the Senate. So, yes, they did, Michael. They absolutely did. It's not a whataboutism. It's about equal protection under the law. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying what about this or what about that. I'm saying you have to, if you're going to say this is the law, the rule of law, and we're going to prosecute one person for doing something, then you got to prosecute the other. And it's funny to me that you're the justice guy. That's your main grievance with this country. You're saying it's okay to do it to Donald Trump because I don't like him and he's a Republican, but it's not okay. It's okay for Hillary Clinton to destroy evidence and call on attorneys general and cheat with the FBI to hire spies to spy on his campaign and blame it on Russian collusion. All of that is fine. Nobody should be indicted or convicted for any of that stuff. I just don't get it, Michael, and you sound like a hypocrite to me, brother.
So, what do you think?
I kind of agree partially, and I'm kind of in the middle. A lot of the things that you spoke about, he's not being indicted on. And for talking about fairness, Hillary Clinton, the emails, the Clinton Foundation donating millions of dollars to the Clinton Foundation, and then as Secretary of State, I approve your weapons deal. I think it's kind of, yes, sketchy. Hunter Biden has business connections that has increased the net worth of the Biden family increased amount since Biden's been in office. I think it's just very sketchy. And if you're going to look into Trump and all of his business dealings, something that every business person in America does, Bezos, Elon Musk, Warren Buffett, you're going to go after everybody if you get Trump, and you're basically going to collapse the American economy. I'm sorry, but I think you need to look at the facts, and you need to look at everybody if you're going to go after Trump out of the sake of fairness.
What about you, Ron? Oh, I'm sorry, David. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Ron.
I'm torn with this one, too. I mean, I hear what Darius and Soel are saying, but, you know, this whole January 6th insurrection, to me, that crosses the line. And I think that is inexcusable, and I think he should be prosecuted for that.
All right. You're listening to The Man's Voice, and give us a call at 646-668-8740 and let us know your opinions. All right. Let's move on to, let's see. Ron, did you want to bring something to the table?
I knew you were going to call me. Thank you, David. yeah, I want to go back to the comment I made a few minutes ago about Kansas and what happened in Kansas and see if anybody's got any thoughts on that. And if what my friend predicted, that it's going to be a blue wave, primarily because of the abortion issue, if anybody believes that, or is that just, you know, wishful thinking? Michael.
Yeah, hey, thanks for calling on me, Ron. I do believe in that blue wave. I think what happened in Kansas, as you said, it's a ruby red state. Like, it doesn't get no more Republican and conservative than the state of Kansas. So for that entire red state to vote for abortion to stay legal, I think that's going to push a lot of those Republicans who are not, like, far right. I'm not talking like the far right Republicans. They're not going anywhere. But I mean middle of the road, moderate Republicans. I think it's going to push them over to the left, because you got to understand, Ron, for the first time in 50 years, Americans have had a right taken from us. There's a lot of people who've lived in America, me being one. I've never had a right taken away from me. So you're talking about every woman in the United States that has had a right taken away from them? I think that's going to cause a huge blue wave, to answer your question. I think the Republicans are going to get their asses handed to them over this issue.
Interesting. What about you, Darius?
I'm willing to put any amount of money on it right now to anybody who thinks there's going to be a blue wave anybody, I'm telling you, you name it, I'll match it. I don't care what it is. It's not going to happen, guys. It's wishful thinking. This abortion issue is not what you think it is, and you're reading the tea leaves incorrectly. Before there was even the Roe v. Wade thing overturned, the vast majority of Americans believed that abortions should be legal. Nobody said no. I don't think there was hardly any states that said, oh, we're going to just outright ban abortions altogether. What the issue was with the states were they wanted to put a limit on the terms, on the how long it could be. So Kansas voted that, yeah, we want to keep it legal. We just don't want you guys aborting all the way up until the mother's in labor. So a lot of people on the left got really excited about it, but that's not what it was all about. And what happened in Roe v. Wade, what's happening now, is what was intended to happen. Everybody keeps saying, oh, man, they were trying to overturn and take rights. No, they're not. What they're saying is let's give it to the people and let the people decide. So what happened in Kansas is exactly the intentions of the Supreme Court. Let the states, let the people decide what they want to happen in their community where they live. But, guys, as long as this economy is where it is, as long as we're in a recession, as long as gas is $5 a gallon plus, as long as mothers can't buy bacon and eggs and milk at a reasonable price for their kids and buy clothes for their children, as long as those issues are happening right now and we're uncertain about our national security, as long as those issues are in place, that will take precedence over somebody wanting to kill a baby. Because they're going to realize that nobody's trying to take away that right altogether. They're just basically trying to limit the terms on when you can do it. So if you want to hang your hat on that and you want to ride on this abortion thing thinking that's going to turn from red, turn everything blue, please place your bets now. I'll cover all of them.
So you have any thoughts on this?
Well, a couple. I do believe that a lot of things that have escalated to the federal government really should be left to the states. I mean, I'm really neutral when it comes to an abortion, but the people that want to have it are going to legislate it in their government, and they're going to demand, like, hey, we want this or hey, we want that, just like how some states have legal marijuana or not. There's some people that despise legal marijuana, and if they want to live somewhere where it's not legal, that's entirely their choice. That's what makes America America. But Kansas, in the United States, we have more women than there are men, and Kansas is becoming a slightly bluer state over time. They elected a Democratic governor in Laura Kelly, considering their former governor, Sam Brownback, actually screwed over the people really bad by cutting education in order to give rich people tax breaks. So it's just a way of evolution, I think. People are going to get what they want if they truly, and I think people understand the stakes now more than ever. Like, you need to be active, you need to register to vote, you know, know who's running for the school board, state senate, state representatives, you need to know who's running, you need to know this so you can know who's going to legislate the laws that you want dictated in society.
All right. Once again, you're listening to The Man's Voice. Give us a call at 646-668-8740. All right. So, there's something you wanted to bring to the table?
Not exactly, but I'll just talk about something nice. I mean, what's something that's happened over you over this week that's been either very interesting, that's made you really think about what's going on? I mean, recently by my neighborhood, a lady, she ended up getting killed by a guy who just happened to be black. And they, the Black Lives Matter supporters were supporting the killer, and they were protesting in front of the lady's house. And I just want your general thoughts about that or any other things that have happened in your neighborhood lately.
Why was Black Lives Matter protesting? Why would they do that? Why would they support that?
Well, because the police shot the guy, because I think the lady's like 69 years old, and he was trying to rob her, and she called the police, and he took her hostage, and they shot him because she took the lady hostage. So Black Lives Matter supporters came over to the apartment building where, because they were neighbors, and they were protesting, like, you shot this guy in cold blood, and you're horrible people, your police are racist. And so I'm just wondering, like, in your opinion, do you think, like, the social movement has gone too far if they're defending people like that? I know he had some diagnosed mental issue or something, but what are your general opinions of that?
So, taking race out of the equation, I mean, if it would have been a white guy and he holds this woman hostage, you know, and the police shoot him, I would think that they're in their right to shoot him.
All right.
So to me, you know, I don't think Black Lives Matter should have. I mean, I'm sure that there's details that I'm not aware of, but to me, it's irrelevant whether the guy is white, black, whatever. If he's holding somebody hostage and you know, threatening their life, then, you know, police need to do what they need to do.
It just happened yesterday, and they started protesting this morning.
Hey, so I'm going to do a little research on that, and in full disclosure, as you know, and as everyone knows, I'm a true, proud supporter of BLM. I love BLM with all my heart. I think they're a strong and powerful, great organization. So I'm going to do some more research on that, but I got to push back on you a little bit, because that's a part of the problem which you just did with. You didn't tell the full story. David had to push you a little bit to get the rest of the story out. The way you initially told the story, yeah, it sounded bad. BLM is standing with a guy who killed an old lady. But then when it comes to find out, well, maybe the cops shot the guy. He didn't deserve to get shot. Maybe he was a mental guy. Maybe he surrendered. I'm pretty sure there's a lot more to that story as to why BLM would be supporting this guy. So I think I'll do a little more research, and next week I'll definitely get back to you on why BLM is supporting this guy, if they are supporting the guy at all. So I just think you did a disservice by not giving the whole entire story. I do not, under any circumstances, think BLM goes too far in any stretch of the imagination, because the pain and suffering that African-Americans have suffered in the United States of America since its inception pales in comparison to the minor little pushback BLM has been given for the last 5 years.
Well, I have this question for you, and this has actually been verified. So this single mother in the Midwest somewhere, very similar situation. She had been cooking dinner for her kids, and this guy ended up shooting up her apartment, and then the police came, and then he wasn't surrendering, so they shot him, and the mother said he's had a wide variety of issues, and I've been calling the police about it, and I've been calling people about it, the county, nobody did anything. And then Black Lives Matter came, and then they protested, but the mother was extremely upset because the guy tried to kill her and her children. Do you think in that situation it was inappropriate?
Is that for me, Sorrell, or is that for the panel?
Both.
Well, Darius, what are your thoughts on that? I don't want to hog up the space.
No, I heard the story that Sorrell was talking about, and Black Lives Matter was definitely out of line. But see, you know, just like you accused Sorrell of not telling the whole story, a lot of times Black Lives Matter isn't looking at all the facts involved too. So they just see a black man got killed by police officers and they rush in. This lady was, is a mother just in her kitchen and she got shot. And Black Lives Matter protested because the cops killed the guy who did it. So it's like sometimes, you know, I think there's a rush to judgment on both sides. But, Black Lives Matter has a habit of jumping the gun and supporting people just because they got shot by the police and not looking at what actually happened, just like they did with Kyle Rittenhouse and, you know, a lot of other cases. They only look at the fact that an African-American got shot, by the police officers and they're out full speed. And I'm just also curious, and I know this is off subject too, Michael, but you said you're a proud Black Lives Matter supporter. I'm just curious to know, are you at all concerned about all the millions or hundreds of millions of dollars that the Black Lives Matter movement has collected and all of the stories that have come out about how they have been, I would say, showed less than being proper fiduciaries of the money that they've been given?
Absolutely not. That does not bother me at all. What bothers me is the 2 million African-American men who are behind bars unjustly in the United States, and Black Lives Matter movement stands for freeing those political prisoners. I care far more about that than the money that they're putting in their pockets.
Wow.
Michael,
wow.
I have a quick follow-up question.
Shouldn't that money go to the families? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Sora.
So I agree with Darius, like, shouldn't the money go to the families? Like, the president of Black Lives Matter lives in a multi-million gated house. You think that he should be giving the money to the families that have been affected by police brutality or injustice?
Well, first of all, so once again, get your facts straight. It's a female. It's not even a male. It's a female who lives in that mansion. And would she? I don't know the financial aspect and side of that corporation, that a nonprofit organization, what it is. So I can't speak on their money. I don't know how they spend their money. I don't know what they've donated to certain causes. I've never looked at their books. I'm not concerned about their books. What I'm concerned about is, like I said, the 2 million black men who are behind bars in the United States of America unjustly, they should be freed at home with their families. I care more about how the American system has destroyed the black community over the last 30 years with the 94 crime bill and crack cocaine and how the black family is not intact. That's what I care more about, is breaking that system down. And that's what BLM cares about, breaking that system down. So I could care less, once again, about their books. I've never seen their books, so I'm not going to speak on their books.
All right, gentlemen. Once again, the number, you're listening to The Man's Voice, number 646-668-8740. Give us a call. Join the conversation. Okay. Jeremiah, is there something you want to bring to the table?
Not at this second. Not at this second.
Okay. I think you already told us that. All right. Let's move on. Ron, is there something you want to bring to the group?
Well, I already brought up the Kansas issue. I'm trying to think. Oh, yeah, the bill that just passed today, or not the bill, but the what do they call it for climate change? And I forget the name of it. Let me look it up real quick. The climate tax and health care bill. How do you all feel about that? I think I know how you feel, but let's start with Darius on this one.
Darius, are you listening? Oh, Darius.
Hey, well, Darius, if it's okay, I'll take it until Darius comes on real quick. And that's a good question, Ron, because I've been following that. And to answer your question, how do I feel about it? I'm very upset about it. Well, I'm happy and I'm upset. Let me tell you what I'm happy about. I'm happy that it's going to put up so much money to combat climate. But I'm just, you know, I'm on the side of the Republicans. Like, all this spending money, like, is this really going to help climate? Is this really going to go towards it? And the fact that Kristen Sinema, who's the senator from Arizona, she took out the earned interest tax credit. Now, let me explain that real quick. That's a provision that says top-tier billionaire guys, they can pay 20% of their money to the federal government in taxes as opposed to the top rate, which is 35%. The top rate you pay in taxes is 35%. A lot of people like me pay 35%. But this provision, this law says that the billionaire guys only have to pay 20%. Well, they were trying to take that out of there and say, hey, the billionaire guys should pay the 35% as well. But Kristen Sinema stood strong and hard on that. She did not want to take that out. So they took it out. So now the billionaire guys are back to paying 20%. That money, had it stayed in, would have raised so much money for schools and lower education and health, child care, and all kind of great things that money would pay for. I'm going to give you an example of how much money it was. One guy, one billionaire hedge fund guy, he made $148 million last year alone. Okay, had the law been taken out, he would have had to pay 35%, which is about $53 million he would have had to write a check for. But the law stayed in, he only had to write a check for $20 million. So that's one guy, $30 million. That $30 million could have went to fund so many great things in the communities that need that help. So Kyrsten Sinema stood strong on making sure that provision got taken out of there, and she's a Democrat. So I think we need to highlight that and focus that. So for that reason, Ron, I'm not happy with the bill at all.
What about you, Soel?
I think that the bill is not the appropriate action at this time. I think that the spending of our government is frankly irresponsible. We've given so much money to Ukraine, and we have skyrocketing inflation. So many people are struggling to afford the basic necessities to keep their household going. It's just, why does all of this stuff have to be so expensive? And I think it's at a time right now where it's not appropriate. I think that, you know, the spending of Congress and the actions of the president are a little irresponsible, even coming into the pandemic and as we've gotten out of it. I think a lot of the money that we spent in the last year and a half really should have been going to programs that were going to help rebuild the United States after COVID. So I'm really disappointed. I read the bill. I really don't like it. There's a lot of things in there that have nothing to do with what the title of the bill says. So I'm not supportive of it.
Does anybody think that it's going to bring down inflation?
No, I don't.
Isn't it like a $430 billion bill, and that's talking about bringing down inflation?
Well, that's a prediction. I forget which organization predicted that it'll help with inflation, but that's the least that's what I heard.
We're going to spend more money to breed consumer confidence in the American people about the dollar, so we're going to spend $4 billion to do that.
Well, it's going to stimulate certain parts of the economy, from my understanding.
Well, from what it says, from what I'm reading, it says, for example, $349 million goes towards clean energy. Okay, what exactly does that mean? You got to break that down, but it's not broken down, so that money can just go anywhere. They can just throw the title of clean energy on top of wherever they decided to send that check. So, yeah, like I said, I'm with the Republicans on this. I think the Democrats just spend too much money.
All right. Let's move on with anyone else want to bring something to the table that we haven't done? Darius, have you come up with anything? Oh, he's not there. He left us. All right. Let's move on. One of the things is the prisoner exchange that's going to be going on for the female basketball player and a spy that we have here in the United States. Do you think that's something that the United States should be doing, Ron?
That's a good question, David. I have, you know, like so many things, I have mixed feelings about this too. I think it's ridiculous. That she's behind bars for the infraction that she committed. But then again, you know, Russia's got their laws, and if she broke the laws. But I morally don't think it's good to, you know, swap prisoners, and I just don't feel that that's the right way to do it.
All right. What about you, Soel? What are your thoughts?
I think that what happened to Brittany Griner and the teacher that's over there, I have no idea what his name is, but I know that he also was arrested for a marijuana crime or some sort. I feel the plight of both of these people greatly. Like, they should be able to come home, but I don't think that we should be exchanging a terrorist war criminal that's contributed to the deaths of several Americans to get them back. That's just my opinion. I think that sometimes you have to make a sacrifice and you have to make a reflective decision that's going to be better overall. If he goes back to Russia, there's no saying how much horror he can unleash by being back in a free society. So I think it's just best if at this time we do nothing.
So you think she should stay in jail until we come up with the answer to that? She got 90.
Yeah, I think we should. I know. I think we should get her and the teacher out, but I don't think we should exchange a Russian war criminal for that.
What would be another way of doing it? Offer a lot of money?
I don't think that's a good idea either, and I don't think that Russia will even want our money because they're kind of oil rich right now because all the other countries are buying their oil instead of us. But there's going to come a time where we're going to have to figure out a democratic process to this where we're going to have to come up with relations with Russia. And obviously, it's not going to happen right now with Putin and the Ukraine war, but hopefully there will be a time and a place where we can sit down and hopefully get Brittany Griner and the teacher back.
All right. What are your thoughts on that, Michael?
Well, I'm very torn on this, and so my answer is going to be twofold. One, yeah, I feel sorry for Brittany Griner. So, well, the reason Brittany Griner is different from the teacher and any other hostage, Brittany Griner is a gold medal winner for us. She won a gold medal with the Olympics. So that kind of elevates her higher than just your average citizen. She's kind of an American treasure. So Russia has an American treasure, so we got to play a little bit different in regards to trying to get an American treasure back, because that really makes us look bad as a nation if we allow Russia to keep an American treasure like her. So that it's a little different. Now, I do agree, Haley, Russia's got their own law. Sister, if you went over there with cannabis, you should have been smart enough to know not to go to Russia with cannabis. So you broke the law in their country. Hey, you got to, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, 9 years is a lot, but I always hear him say that in Russia, they have a crooked system because they convict 99% of their crook people that go before them. Well, in America, America convicts 98% of the people that go before them. So it's hypocritical when I hear American journalists point out how crooked the Russian criminal justice system is, but won't take a look at how crooked the American criminal justice system is. I think they're equally as corrupt. So that's my answer on that one. I feel bad that she got 9 years. I think it's far too much for that. But, I mean, hey, I don't think we should really trade. I mean, it's tough to trade who they're trying to get this guy, like Sorrell said, who's a complete murderer, murdered thousands of people and will murder again. Brittany Griner's never murdered anybody, she'll never murder again. So, no, it's not a fair trade, but the fact that they have a national treasure and she's a national treasure kind of makes it a little different.
One of the things that keeps bothering me is that what she had was CBD oil, which is used for all kinds of things. I mean, use it on your skin and for everything. So it wasn't like she took narcotics with her. All CBD oil over there is considered wrong. But anyway, you've been listening to The Man's Voice. We appreciate all of you who are listening in, but we would love to hear you talk to us and call us sometime next week. So as we get out of here, anybody want to say anything as a last comment? See who's been talking. Michael, you got any last comments you want to make to the public?
Yeah, I just want everybody to stay safe from monkeypox. Be careful. Wear your mask, in my personal opinion. And just everybody be happy and try to be safe.
All right. What about you, Ron?
Yep, it's buckle up because we're headed toward turbulent times, I think. So try to keep her cool and, you know, there's going to be a lot of anger out there.
All right. Well, once again, thank you for listening to us with The Man's Voice. We're here every Sunday, so we'll be back with you next Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Everyone have a great week. If you have kids going to school, good luck with that. All right, guys. Have a great week.
Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye.
Have a great week, everyone.
Bye.